Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Friday. We are off a little bit earlier today with everything that is going on with the Kansas City Royals. They are in Detroit. Rob, have you ever been to Detroit before? That is one of the major cities that I have not had the fortune of going to. I certainly would love to go to Detroit. There's some things there historically I'd like to see. I'd like to see the old Motown building. I'd also like to go to the Ford Museum. There's some things I'd like to do in Detroit. I've also heard that the downtown is actually kind of going up a little bit right now, but I've never been to Detroit. Have you been?
I have never been to Detroit. I wouldn't say no to a trip to Detroit, but I don't think it's high on my, oh, I got to do Detroit
list. That's kind of why I feel like, why, number one, would I be going to Detroit? What am I going to Detroit for? Like, I don't know if I want to see Motown enough that I am going specifically on a trip to go do this. I don't want to see it that badly. But if I was up there, like maybe say Chiefs were playing the Lions, I make a weekend of it. Maybe
you would do something like that. For you specifically, for that example, you're into weather. Let's say it's Chiefs and Lions in November. You're not going up to Detroit. It's cold. It's like Chicago cold, windy and off the lake.
You know, I don't mind that. I don't mind putting a coat on. I mean, I'm not excited about it. Is it going to be snowing, though? I'm not out there maneuvering and grooving if it's going to be snowing outside. I don't have any interest. I don't have any interest in dealing with your city snow. I got to deal with my own city snow. I'm now going to travel to go to where it's snowing for you guys? Absolutely not.
I mean, there's some places I would travel where it's snowing. Like, if I went to New York in Christmas time, that'd be cool. There might be snow, but that's just part of the game. If I did an Alaskan cruise and there was snow, that's just part of the game. Detroit to watch Chiefs and Lions would feel like a lot of maneuvering for snow.
All right, I'm going to remove Chicago from the White Sox just because I think they would be the automatic answer for this. Tomorrow, if they told you and I that we had to relocate and we had to either move to Cleveland, Detroit, or Minnesota, which one of the three would you be like, all right, that's where I want to go? Because Chicago's cheating. Chicago's not comparable to the other ones. We can't live in Kansas City anymore. We have to move to another American League Central city, and it's not Chicago. Which one would you pick?
Minneapolis?
I think that's the one I'd pick, too.
Because, yeah.
I wouldn't be excited about either one of those options. I would not be thrilled about any of these three options. But if you told me I had to pick one of them, I think I would pick Minnesota.
Yeah, I think it'd be Minnesota. I think it's close. What would be second on your list in that grouping?
Cleveland.
That's what the two.
I've been to Cleveland once, and I don't think Cleveland's as bad as people say that it is.
I've had friends go to Cleveland and say it gets a bad rep, but it's still like kind of like the same as you. Like, oh, I'd love to see Detroit. Kind of same vein.
Yeah, I think I would pick Cleveland out of those things. I will say I would be excited about we pick up an NBA team in the process. We move to any one of those other cities. I'd be very thrilled about picking up an NBA team in this hypothetical analogy that you and I had to move. I'd be very excited about having to cover the Minnesota Timberwolves moving forward. That'd be great.
I mean, if you worked in Cleveland, you'd be covering a lot of Ohio State football. That's their second pro team. I mean, they like the Cavs. They like Cleveland, the Guardians. They love Ohio State. I don't know what I could do 365 Ohio State recruiting shows. I couldn't do it.
Well, I mean, that sounds very similar to what we have right now with Kansas. It would Except just be a team that I would actually like.
That's a lovable product that brings in the best players in the country via basketball. Like, watching Darren Peterson hoop brings me joy. Watching, I don't know, Jeremiah Smith play football is not going to bring me the same amount of joy.
It would bring me joy. I'd love it. I'd be great. You know what? I'd be excited to cover a college football team that can make the college football playoff and can win it. I'd be thrilled to do that in this. Let's get back to the Chiefs. We'll also talk a little bit of Royals here. We're off at 4:30 today because of the Royals. So we had Trevor Sikkema on the show earlier today. He covers the draft for Pro Football Focus. He is their lead draft analyst. He had something very interesting to say about the draft. Now, I think we have narrowed this down, and if you are a believer that Vegas knows, Vegas is telling you that they believe the Chiefs are going to draft someone in round one on the offensive or defensive line. Now, they obviously could go against that, and Vegas gets things wrong sometimes, but there is a big gap in odds for them drafting a corner or a safety or a wide receiver. Now, we don't know what the draft board says. Maybe Luther Burden is sitting there at 31, and the Chiefs feel like the value is too good. We have to take a playmaker at wide receiver. But I do think that we have locked in just a bit that I expect the Chiefs to take someone on the offensive or defensive line. This would be my logic on either side. If the Chiefs are taking an offensive lineman in round one, it continues to me what I think they have. I think their message for the offseason has been this. We believe that our core is still good and there's still one more year left in what we have. But in 2026, we are going to start to transition into a new era of Chiefs football. Almost every deal they signed this offseason was a one-year deal. They didn't really take a splash. And if they did take a splash, it was for Nick Bolton, who's 25 years old. It was to Trey Smith, who's 25 years old. All the other contracts that they signed were smart one-year deals that they can get out of at the end of this season. I don't think the Chiefs' plan for three straight years is going to be to keep running back the team that lost to the Philadelphia Eagles. I think their plan is going to be, hey, this is a team that won 17 games last year. Let's bring that core back. We like a lot of those pieces. And then let's see how it plays itself out next year. But I think the Chiefs are starting the transition to a team that has a much younger foundation. Kelce is getting up there a little bit. You look at some of their other pieces. I think the Chiefs need to start building a team around a 30-year-old Patrick Mahomes and putting as many young 20-somethings around him on cost-controlled deals. So if the Chiefs want to plan ahead, they are going to need a new right tackle for next year. You don't have to be an NFL executive to see the writing is on the wall. This is Juwan Taylor's last year for the Chiefs. So are the Chiefs going to be proactive and get ahead of it? We're going to take Kelvin Banks. We're going to take Joshua Simmons. We're going to take Connor Lee Jr. from the Oregon Ducks. And we're going to draft the offensive lineman. We are going to develop him. And then next year, when we know we will have an opening, instead of looking around in free agency to fill it, we already have a first-round pick and four more years of club control to fill that void. Jalen Moore is still a relatively young player. We are looking at the future of what we think our offensive line is going to be, and the Chiefs can potentially already have that in the fold in just one more selection, and we can know right now what their 2026 offensive line is going to be. Or if they go on the other side of the ball and they go D-line, I think they are looking for a much more immediate helper. I think if you were taking another defensive lineman, you can't keep telling me that every defensive lineman.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, you were drafting is a pick for the future, especially when your D-line this season appears to be so thin. The Chiefs don't have four or five legitimate pass rushing options. I mean, they got three. You got Chris Jones, Charles Omenihu, and you got George Karloftis on the other side. if an injury happens, if a guy doesn't play up to the back of his football card, you put yourself in a position where maybe at the deadline, you got to go out and you got to get a lot more punch up front and ability to go get to the quarterback. Well, you can solve some of that now by drafting an edge and developing him. And by the second half of the season, you have given him enough snaps, you have given him enough reps that he's ready to go. You've seen that happen, and that has been a theme with some of their first-round picks. We've seen it happen on the offensive side last year with Xavier Worthy. That happened with George Karlaftis, who was much better in the second half of the season than the first. I think they could follow that formula one more time. Here's Trevor Sikkema.
If you want an offensive tackle, you know, if that is what you want, you should draft one at the back end of the first round, because it just becomes much more difficult to find a starting caliber offensive tackle, even one who might wait his turn a little bit when he gets into the league, a little bit later in the draft. Whereas defensive linemen, edge rushers, defensive tackles, I think the Kansas City could absolutely find those guys on day two, even in the later portions of round two and round three.
If you are looking for long-term solutions at tackle, especially ones that are cost-effective, the best place to do that is on Thursday. The best place to do that is not in March. The best place to do that is not in October, when you are kind of picking through guys who are injured and are in their 30s, and their deal is about to expire. If you are looking for a long-term answer at right tackle, which the Chiefs currently on their roster, they do not have. The Chiefs do not have a long-term answer at right tackle. I would argue right now that they don't have a long-term answer at left tackle. They have an idea at left tackle, and we'll see if their idea is right. But you only got Jalen Moore on contract for 2 years, and it gives you an out at the end of this first year if he doesn't play up to your level of expectation. So if the Chiefs want to redshirt somebody and they want to prepare themselves for 2026, this draft class, I think, allows them that ability to do so. I don't think the Chiefs are in any position. I don't think they're in any position where right now they have to do something in round one. I think they really can go in a lot of different directions. If Burden drops and they take Luther Burden, great. I think you could argue they got the best wide receiver in the draft at pick 31. That is a phenomenal place to be in. If the Chiefs want to go corner and they are thinking for the future, I think that's a great idea as well. They've given themselves a lot of roster flexibility. But if you are thinking of stashing a pick, I think left tackle or right tackle and planning ahead for the future, just knowing that you can get a premium prospect and you also get a year in which whoever they draft on the tackle is not starting this year. There's nothing you can do with Jawan Taylor's contract. Nothing. It is locked in. There's too much dead cap, and you are not trading him this year, and you've already made the play to go get Jalen Moore. This is a draft pick that is not going to help you in 2025, in theory, unless an injury happens. It is a player that you are looking for towards the future. But what if they go on the defensive line? What if they want to get somebody who can instantly step in and help day one? Here's some of the suggestions from Trevor Sikkema. He is the Pro Football Focus draft analyst.
An edge rusher like Braden Swinton, for example, from LSU, is somebody who I think the league could be pretty high on. Maybe a JT Tuimoloau from Ohio State. Those guys there on the edge could make sense. Yeah, maybe a guy like Landon Jackson gives you that length, that uniqueness that I feel as though the Chiefs continue to gravitate towards at that position. Maybe even a Nick Scorton from Texas A&M. These are players who I think all could potentially be available for them at the back end of the first round. If you want to go more towards the interior, I love an Omar Norman Lott. I think he'd be awesome next to Chris Jones. He is somebody from Tennessee who he's a little bit shorter. He's a little bit sawed off, if you will. Doesn't have the great length, but man, he's got an incredible first step. He's somebody that really knows how to convert speed to power. He can win very quickly. 88.3 pass rush grade against true passing sets last year. Wasn't used very much as a run defender, so might be a little one-dimensional when you draft him, but you could potentially mold him into that three-down player when you have him playing next to a guy like Chris Jones. Maybe a Darius Alexander from Toledo as well, who had a really good final season, a little bit older of a prospect, but somebody played great this past year in the MAC and then played very well at the Senior Bowl as well. He was one of the major standouts and somebody that was getting some first-round buzz after his week in Mobile. So I think those are a handful of players that you're thinking about there at the back end of the first two.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, when I hear luxury pick, I think of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. No thanks. Go get a lineman. I hear what you're saying. I understand the fear of them going in this direction. I don't have a fear of them going in this direction. I don't think they're taking a running back. And, I mean, I would say that they took the safe lineman that everyone wanted. He has 3 sacks in 2 years. They spent the first-round pick on a lineman with big upside, a lineman that they gave a year to kind of sit and redshirt. They did that a couple of seasons ago. And Felix Onyedike Uzomah has played in – he has made 3 starts in his career and has 3 sacks in 2 years. So I think there is no foolproof plan with where they are in the draft. There are no perfect prospects at this point, certainly not on the offensive line or defensive line. That's why I think they're in a position that if you want to kind of think ahead, and that's why I think Joshua Simmons makes the most sense for them. He is a guy who tore his ACL in the second half of the college football season. You can allow him an extended time to get healthy and get right. And you can have him fully healthy and ready to go for 2026 as a guy that started 2 years in the Big Ten at Ohio State. I think he is the best case scenario if you were trying to project this thing out for the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the direction that I would go if I'm them, if he's on the board. If you believe Matt Miller, and Matt Miller is going to be on the show next week from ESPN, he is hearing that the Chiefs want to move up to the middle of the first round. If the Chiefs want to move up to 21, then you are not moving up for a running back. You are not moving up for a wide receiver. The Chiefs are then moving up because they have identified an offensive lineman that they love, and they are starting to plan for 2026 when they could really shake up their offensive line. This year, they shook it up a little bit, for sure. You went out and you got Jalen Moore. You also traded Joe Tooney. That's a major shake. The Chiefs could be in a position of having to replace their right tackle. And I still think their left tackle has to be viewed as a question mark because we've never seen him get starter reps in the National Football League.
I think it's Josh Simmons is the name I like. But just, and maybe this is where me and the Chiefs and Brett Veach are seeing this offseason differently, and they have acted, like you said earlier, like it is run it back time and that we're fine. But drafting a guy in the first round to essentially redshirt him and learn, hey, maybe he can be a right tackle once they move on from Juwan, or maybe he's better than Jalen Moore and he's the long-term plan. It just seems like a redshirt pick is a foolish pick to me. I would prefer a player who can make an impact on the field immediately. That's what I want from first-round picks, like the way they got immediate impact last year from their first-round pick. But Joshua Simmons, I think, is the most viable and good left tackle. I just don't like the idea of, hey, we're drafting for 2026 and that during the 2025 NFL draft.
I want to play one more cut for you guys. I know we got to hand things off to Vern here very soon. Here's Trevor Sikkema. You know that I'm big on running back. I want this team to take a running back. I'm looking at the second or third round. They have a late second round pick and an early third round pick because they have Tennessee's pick from the Legarius Sneed trade. That's where I want them to kind of look. Here are some options that he sees for them at that position.
Round 2 or round 3, right? That seems to be the sweet spot for the position and the value and how much of an impact player you could get. The two guys that I look at for them, Dylan Sampson from Tennessee, and then Travion Henderson from Ohio State. Those are the two that I think can complement their room the best as it is currently constructed. So I think that even for next year, they're able to get in the lineup. They can really produce the way that they need to. They give them the speed element that's missing from that room right now. And then moving forward, I think both of those guys could be early down backs as well, not just speed backs, but players who can obviously be dynamic and difference making for them, and you could really totally lean on them in any situation. So I think it is. It's round 2, it's round 3, and the two names that I keep coming to for the Chiefs that make the most sense are Dylan Sampson and Travion Henderson.
I would be thrilled, absolutely delighted, if those are the two running backs that they pick up. I think Dylan Sampson last year might have been the most underrated running back in college football, which doesn't make sense given he was maybe the best running back in the SEC. I just don't think he was getting enough national conversation last year for the kind of season that Dylan Sampson put up last season. If you're telling me that's the plan for them at running back, sign me up. if they're going to get, I'll take either one of the Ohio State running backs to be the Chiefs' number one back. Love them both. Last year, Dylan Sampson averaged 5.8 yards per carry and had 22 touchdowns last season. Now, he is not a pass-catching back. He only had 143 yards receiving last year at Tennessee. So he is not a guy that's going to be that dual threat. So maybe that doesn't make him very viable for the Chiefs. But if you want to talk about a legitimate home run swing, a guy with a nose for the end zone, and a guy that dominated major college football, I don't think you can do much better than Dylan Sampson. I'd be very happy if that's the direction that they go.
Dylan Sampson would be a great name. I feel like there's a lot of good running back names where, like, if they got Ollie Gordon in the fourth, you're not going to hear a complaint from me. Dylan Sampson's a great pick, but I think there are a lot of great name options at running back for the Chiefs.
All right, we are off early today because of the Royals. We'll be back to our normal time next week. Really excited to help get you guys ready for the NFL draft. We got a lot to get into next week. Until then, take care of yourself, and I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.